And so on tonight's show, it is an honor to have these folks back on so soon, because we started out on the 5th, I mean on the May 7th of 2009, 579, a very special number. We had on these guests, Bob Dobbs and Ion, and they are back tonight. And we are going to continue a discussion, a wide-ranging search through the entities known as Ion that are here to answer whatever exploratory questions Bob has, I have, and you, if you choose to embrace exactly what we are bringing here. Something extremely unique to the radio scale. Do you know how unique this is? Do you know how amazing it is what Bob is bringing to the airwaves and to making it possible? And I am so fortunate to be able to be a conduit between these two genies and you, and making it possible to explore other worlds. I mean, this is the phenomenon of what this planet, what you are, what everything is. We just don't, we've only scratched the surface. We've been looking at the human scale for so long, and things are so far beyond. And thank God for that, because basically the human scale and the way that we've been letting it roust us is quite boring, really annoying. And so we get to delve into other worlds tonight. 2 hours with Bob Dobbs and Ion here on KPFK 90.7 FM. But first, darlings, just a little bit of a rant, okay? One thing is that you guys got the feedback from the California Supreme Court on gay marriage. And people were pretty livid, you know, very dramatic, huge protests out in the streets of Los Angeles. And some folks have taken pride in that, said that the voice of the voters has been listened to, has been heard, and they like that. They don't like activist judges, etc. Some of the very same people that are against activist judges were certainly for them when it came to the civil rights movement, when you had police and dogs beating you up, and you really needed a strong central federal government to come in and stop the states from being the terrorizing abusers that they were. That was okay then. It's very interesting, and I just have to say this too. Those that feel that in this democracy, that mob rule, that it is okay to take away the rights of a minority, where we are supposedly in a republic. The Pledge of Allegiance talks about a republic, not a democracy. And you are supposed to then protect minority rights, okay? Not a sledgehammer them with mass ignorance. And I say it's mass ignorance because look at the game that's being played. When you think about gay rights and you really think homosexuality is something that is so dastardly and is this abomination and everything, look at how you feel in that. You get this knot in your stomach. You start to feel a little bit nauseous, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And to think that those people are going to stain the institution of marriage, when you look at that and you feel that kind of feeling, but then you look at these people and they're successful and they're out and about and they're just going about their lives. I mean, it really kind of gets under your craw, because here it is, an abomination to God, but look how happy they are. Look at how they're serving in the army. They are financial whizzes. They are creative whizzes. They are on television and doing all these things. And how is it that that can be? And it really kind of, you know, pisses you off. Because, look, God said that they're an abomination. But, look, they are walking this earth and just kind of having, you know, a good time. What the shnay is that all about? It really makes you mad. And I think what it is that certain individuals have the gall to be who they are, and how can they be that when they know that they're an abomination? And so it calls into question whether that is true or not, whether in the great specter of God's graces would he ever create an abomination. And another factor, of course, is that you can't control what they are doing. You want so much to control and to do God's will, but you're not there to judge. You're not there to harness. If somebody chooses to be, to go against whatever spiritual laws that are out there, isn't it between them and God and at the judgment day for them to judge? How is it that any homo sapien is out there to judge a homosexual? When you look at the institution of marriage, who has actually ruined that institution of marriage? I don't think homosexuals have ruined the institution of marriage as we see it ruined today. Okay? And so you are being manipulated by, not you, but people are being manipulated by things that they can't control. And that is the most genius way of undermining and taking a society apart, making them fight horizontally against minorities of whatever factor by irrational, irrelevant, none of your business kind of laws and kind of cross that get you up in sorts. You can't do anything about it. It is love. They are choosing love, right? But yet what comes up in you is a little bit of hate and a little bit of acidity. And it's even worse because you can't do anything about it. And so you go and you create and you try and amend the Constitution to snuff love. And at the same time, you forgot that you had a proposition on that very same ballot against abortion, against parental for parental rights for those under 18 to get parental notification for an abortion. But that didn't pass. That's because those people, those very same people, didn't have the heart enough to save the unborn. Okay. As they would say, save the children from murder. They didn't have the heart or the attention enough to go after to save these unborn spirits and childs, but they had enough to go out and snuff love down for an institution that they have ruined. Okay? And I think that what you're, of course, people are missing out is that instead of focusing on the abuse of your husbands, wives, and children in the military fighting private wars, the abuse and the absolute undermining of the Constitution and of the financial viability of the United States Corporation, of which you are a cog in its wheel. Those are the larger topics that directly affect you. What people do inside their own homes, between themselves, because marriage is a civil institution. That's why you have to go to a judge. You don't go to a priest to annul or to sit there and divide up your assets. No, you go to a judge. You invite the state into your bedroom when you get a marriage license, when you get a blood test. They get to tell you about your children, not your priest. It is a state institution that can be sprinkled with the beautifulness of your spiritual persuasion at another time. But you got to get a license to do that. It is a state institution. And you know how important it is for somebody to be able to have visitation rights when they're sick. How important it is to be able to leave the country for those that are from foreign destinations, to have their loved ones be able to come over from other countries, to be able to come in and live. All of these over 1,000 rights because of the state, not because of the church, but because of the state. And you are denying that. You are trying to play God. And you want smaller government. You don't want people coming into your bedrooms, but yet that's where you are. And I think it's sad, and I think it is a distraction, and it is giving you, giving people a false sense of security and pleasure and control, once again, control of something that is not meant to be in their control. The Constitution isn't meant to deny minority rights at all. And I think, I hope a lot of you start to think about the motivation for that. and where that anger and disgust comes from. Because on this channel, on KPFK, when we have discussed gay marriage, whoa, how many folks out there have come down on the progressive side and have been, just disgusted, et cetera, et cetera. At gay marriage, shocking. Absolutely shocking that on a progressive channel, that we have folks out there who voted yes on Prop 8. That is very scary. Just absolutely amazing. And remember, marriage was not ruined by homosexuals. It was ruined by heterosexuals. Look around you when you talk about not having stable families. When you look at trying to create loving households for children, when you look at trying to create safe, non-abusive, non-sexually abusive, non-murderous households, where are you hearing those stories come from? Gay households? I doubt it. And so it really is such an injustice, and is such a puny, a small-minded thing for us to have this kind of thing going on in the state. Idaho. Idaho has gay marriage. Iowa. That went by without a shot. Nothing. It came through, and people just went on with their lives. And in California, look what we got. It is absolutely incredible. Look, we have Bob Dobbs and Ion standing by in the wings. Another quick thing, we're going to get to them. I just was so appalled by the happiness of individuals denying love. It's just really amazing. Another thing, of course, is Danny Farber's murder. I'm wondering if successful young black men are being targeted for assassination in Southern California. Danny Farber shot 4 times at a restaurant out on a date with his girlfriend. He had a scholarship to college. He had a beautiful future in front of him, and somebody targeted him. Okay? Amazing tragedy in a Hawaiian Gardens. You heard about the sheriff and FBI roundup of Mexican gang members who were shoving blacks out of Hawaiian Gardens, but they started that operation after one of their sheriffs were killed. I hope it means that they really ramped it up after one of those was killed, because they saw how these gangs were shoving out blacks out of that community. I hope it didn't mean that they just allowed for all of this rampant violence to go on against African Americans in that community. And while they, took notes and everything like that, I hope that's not what they waited for, because blacks being shoved out by aggressive, racist Mexicans is absolutely disgusting. And it is a huge problem that needs to be focused on, and it needs to be talked about. And this is absolutely a disgusting crime, and disgusting brown-black violence that is going on, that we need to have a huge powwow on. And my heart goes out to the Farber family. I just couldn't believe that senseless violence and taking away a life that was on its way to great success in its community. On the lines, we have Bob Dobbs and Ion. I want to welcome them to KPFK. I just had to talk a little bit about some of the news out here, but now we are getting into what we need to do. Bob Dobbs, his book is Fatic Communion. It is out there probably in limited print. It's going to be out there in other forms for you to be a part of. He has one of the most interesting backstories you have ever heard, and we have delved into that on many dimensions. One who was brought to light the works of Marshall McLuhan and Finnegan's Wake, and the importance of the media spectrum, and how that has eclipsed your life and turned it into just a multidimensional form that we are still grappling with. And so I want to welcome to the airwaves Bob Dobbs. Bob, thank you, sir, for being here.
Good morning, Evan. It's delicious to be inside you again.
Well, welcome. It's nice, warm, and tingly.
Yeah.
And I want to welcome to the airwaves Ion. Ion, sir, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
Fantastic to have you both inside my head and inside the heads of, I hope, millions of people up there who know where to be on Thursday morning here on KPFK. And so I want to, if real quick, Ion, I wanted to start off and ask you, the very last time we had you on, a very special day, 5709, in some of the questions that we asked you, it seemed that you weren't able to be as truthful or candid in some of the answers as maybe you would under other circumstances. Are there certain areas that being candid and direct in answers to particular questions, political questions, etc., is difficult?
Well, it's not difficult. It's out as it's received. It's not necessarily the importance of the words as it is the position that comes from the transference of knowledge from the non-physical, which is always pure positive love, into a media where people can actually resonate with the part that they already know in their heart of hearts, the non-physical part of them, that is love. Yes, you can be more specific, you can be more dynamic in your expressions, but the reaching out or the tapping into the part that people already are comfortable, are already in their knowing regarding, it makes it much simpler for a basic, basal value that you can't start your world with false premises and then build upon that as your reality. Because you're the creators, and you can be, do, or have anything. And as you come into that knowing, then the dynamic becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. As we would say, most questions end up with two answers. And then as you get those answers and you build upon those line upon line, precept upon precept, it typically, for most humans, brings more questions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically in this format, or even in a private session, you would come into a place to where your most in-depth answers can be achieved. But to put it in a format that would reach the most, seems to be the path of least resistance more often than not.
Hmm. Bob, would you? I just had to jump in and ask that really, really quick, because we did have some questions about the Israel spy scandal and the release of Rosen last week and why that was. And I felt the answer to that was something that was a little cryptic and not direct. And so that's why I asked that question. But I wondered if you would, again, reintroduce Ion to our audience and how it is that you came to know him.
Well, the medium, the vehicle, is known as JW. And JW and I have been friends for a few years, and one thing led to another. He started seeing portals through his domestic windows, and then sort of dead people showed up around him, or ghosts, though Ion has said they're not really ghosts exactly as we've traditionally thought of them. Anyways, these were entities that he allowed himself to see, unconsciously almost, and then I thought, well, maybe he's available to go into trance. So on March 18th, we experimented, and he went into trance. And the entity that came through, which said it was a dodecahedron as a model of what it was, and each angle of the 12 triangles in the dodecahedron had 640 entities, and you move it 1 degree, move down another section, then you had another 640, and multiplied by some other factor, I can't remember, and then you add all those triangles up, it turned out that there were zillions of entities, and maybe Ion would clarify that when I finish here. So there were zillions of entities available, and so here it is 2 months later, 2 months and another week, and I have done 220-plus hours with Ion.
Wow.
Since March 18th. Every bit of it recorded except for the first day, which we didn't record. We didn't even know if he was going to go into trance. So I've learned a lot of stuff and a lot of surprising new information, and I see the entity known as Ion is completing my investigations 40 years ago into cosmic awareness first, and then Seth, Jane Roberts channeled Seth, and then I looked into the Evergreens, and then I looked into Abrahams, and there's a few other private individuals I did, and I find Ion adding to what, and not denying what these previous sources said, but completing it with some new perspective. So it's been very interesting for me. And I welcome the opportunity for people to tap into this. I think we have a new development, this spiritual exploration. You began the show saying we're spiritual, and yeah, that's what we want to offer here, something spiritual, though that name may have so many commercialized applications. I don't know what it means anymore, but whatever it means, I find Ion reminds me of that. And so, without further ado, I would like to ask Ion. I talked to JW before the show, and I said, what do you think we should work on? And he said, well, I'd like to emphasize, I hope Ion emphasizes the access to source. So before we go into that, could Ion explain how it is modeled by the dodecahedron?
Well, yes, we certainly will. It's easy to, when you take that pictorial view, the dynamic of non-physical is larger than most human vessels can achieve knowledge regarding. You could talk about nuclear fusion and fission as well, but it would be limited only by the understanding that would already be established. But if you can go to the most simple basic levels, we would be a collection of non-physical that is in every human being. It's how you know you have a spirit. Well, it's how the ER knows whether or not you're DOA or not, because you have a spirit inside you. Well, that resonates with the non-physical, with everyone. It's how you can have a interaction with a human being that is delicious and sometimes have a reaction that would be repelling. That's the non-physical parts that are coming together or not coming together. And the non-physical part, as long as it's based from the love aspect, it becomes a common ground. And once that common ground is achieved, it becomes countless. It becomes countless. But that's the best way to describe the vastness that is what you would necessarily know as unabounding love, the simplest way. And we talk about love, and most humans don't necessarily know what love means. But once you come into that basic, does it feel right for you? Does it resonate with you? That's the non-physical part that is us, is non-physical, resonating in your humanness, and you're the creator. So that all of a sudden now gives it empathetic value and power. Did that answer it close enough for you?
Well, could you describe technically, geometrically, what a dodecahedron is?
Well, a geographic, when you're talking dimension, rather than planar, flat, a dodecahedron takes on a shape, and those angles that are put together or contrived to create this picture of a dodecahedron has angles, and every one of those angles has a degree, and each one of those, any place that you move on that pictorial has a different, if you move a degree, then you have another angle. And if you start adding the different specific angles that would encompass all, the number just gets almost bigger than your fancy computers can actually attribute value to.
Is there 640 on each angle?
Yes, and then as you move up the line, that perspective then would change, you see. So it becomes larger and larger and larger and larger, so it becomes a limitless valuation that is your non-physical.
Is each, you have 12 triangles in the dodecahedron, I think, so each shift within each triangle is the 640 plus some squaring function.
Correct. Plus, each time you move up, the value of that value, the valuation of that movement changes the perspective of what the angle or the value of the degree is. So it becomes, like you say, almost uncountable.
But you're talking about movement within the 12 triangles.
Correct. You have to have a form. You have to have a capacity. Otherwise, you go into the vastness. It would be go count the stars. How many stars are there? And then 30 minutes later, your Earth has moved, so now your stars are more.
Yeah.
Is a good way to draw a parallel.
So now, what is it about source energy that our listeners can access to, and what are the implications of that as we go into the 21st century?
Well, it seems to be that we're not giving the attribution that you are indeed asleep, because you're not. You're human creators in perfect form, and there is nothing wrong. The world isn't broken. It doesn't need fixing. It doesn't need repairing. All that needs to happen is once you resonate with the non-physical inside you, and that activation takes place, when you grip and take hold of your spirit man and apply that into your physical creative humanness, then you have the ability and the power to create. And it's a power that's unquenchable. It's a number large as we are. It becomes a dynamic, a force that cannot be reckoned with. And if they try to suppress you as a human being, you squirt out somewhere else. It's a marvelous, marvelous place of awakening. It's an awakening that the non-physical, pure, positive source energy part that is you can indeed be activated, and you become a boundless, limitless entity that can be, do, or have anything that you would like to be, do, or have. And that's what the world is coming to the place, and it's getting there. It may be through whatever contrast that your daily headlines may portray, but your world, your universe, your creation is your path that you take and choose daily as the fastest path to your joy, become a larger, 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 seamless flow. And once it becomes that flow, time sort of goes away. And once time goes away, then all of a sudden the real reality that comes into your creation is the bringing forth of joy. And the physical human being has that ability and power innately, because it's only the humans that have the ability and the power to indeed create.
When you say only the humans have that ability to create, what is that contrasted to?
Non-physical has no contrast, has no resistance. They're not bound by time. See, humans even created time. Non-physical has no time. It's timeless. So therefore, without any resistance, without any contrast, non-physical does not create.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
No, that's fine. It does not create.
May I ask, in some of the scientists, such as Emanuel Swedenborg philosophies such as Buddhism, they talk about the non-physical as having layers of its own evolution, like a Swedenborg talks about three heavens, and Buddhism talks about the nine heavens. Is that our physical, is something still rooted in the physical and projecting structure onto the non-physical?
Yes, it is, because, well, you take Buddhism, which is a marvelous, marvelous philosophical dimension, gravitational dimension that has meaning in many, many, many humans' lives that they can draw to and come to the place, but of enjoying being known, as you would say, as a Buddhist. But now, in Buddhism, their reality to quench desire is their achievable goal. Oh, but wait. Now, if you quench desire, then you are to receive enlightenment. But wait a second. If you quench desire in order to achieve enlightenment, is that not a desire? So the very essence of that whole work becomes now an unquenchable, an unachievable place. So therefore, you have to be very careful that it doesn't limit. And as long as that work doesn't limit, then you can come into the new place of going, oh, yeah, see, oh, yeah, now I see, now I see. And what's happening now, and as once humans realize just exactly how powerful they really, really, really are, then the universe, the worlds, become at their access. It becomes instant access.
Is there a heaven?
Yes.
Where does it exist?
Well, it depends on the creator. Do you see? You can be, do, or have anything. Anything. Everything. All things. All things. But you can see, but you get the parameters so far out sometimes that you can lose focus. Like stretching out into infinity, you can encompass everything to the point where you can't really tell anything. So you bring it back down to focus in the simplest of whatever you give your undivided attention regarding, then that becomes made manifest in your reality more often than not. Because you always get what you think about.
Why does individualization in this creative material form, why does it lead towards violence on this plane? Why is there violence?
Contrast. And that's a wonderful thing. It's contrast. It's how your country began. It's how your country, this particular country you're speaking of, it's how it began. It was a revolution. And that contrast is from the very thing of you never know what it is that you do want until you experience sometimes the things that you don't want. Hmm. Otherwise, well, it's very delightful. We in non-physical look at it. Other people, other places in the earth, they look at your country, and folks are in the crisis, and they've lost their $2 million home, and they're going to have to move to a $500,000 home, and they can't believe that they're having to be struck down in their prime, that they're going to be limited or lessened to this degree, where other people in the world, humans, look and go, wow, what a wonderful, marvelous slavery this must be. That I've been decreased, and yet I'm having to back down to a $500,000 real estate holdings rather than a $2 million real estate holdings. So it becomes very easily relative, you see.
But there are those that only increase.
Well, and that's exactly right, because they are, the just like you, are the creators of their reality. They are the creators of their reality. And therefore, when you come into the place where money flows freely and easily to you, and that becomes the mantra that you tell everybody that'll be still long enough to listen to you, the next thing you know, they don't have to like you, they don't have to understand you, they don't have to even get you, and yet money flows freely and easily into your experience. And once you come into that, if money is that goal, some people are wanting peace. Some people are wanting to be able to love, and they don't want someone telling them how to love. They want to be able to choose what they're going to consume as far as food is. And that's not on your balance. That's not on your amendments that you come into your constitution of what makes up your world. And yet those votes are made every day because you only have to choose from what's available in your market.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not available, look how that expansive whole process has come into place where you can have the whole spices of the entire world. The East Indian Trading Company got on the map bringing exotic cinnamons and peppers and spices and five spices and all these different spices all over the world that were available from different niches in the world that now are available at the market locally just a block away. That, you know, that you can pick up fresh lemongrass most everywhere now, you see. And those votes have inordinately opened up the world as an oyster in a marketplace that you get to have these new choices. Well, and you say, well, I don't even like lemongrass. Why does that affect me? No, the creation is to have these new experiences of sometimes contrast of yes, I like it, and sometimes contrast of no, I don't. But that's not forever. Maybe it's just they had the same problem with coconut until they found out they could make a wonderful coconut cake, and now all of a sudden it moved way up the food chain.
Bob?
How can people access the source inside themselves?
Well, they do that all day, every day. They do that anyway. Because, you see, everything that's in your creation, you create. It's not the government's fault. It's not the church's fault. There's no fault. Everything that's in your experience, sickness or wellness, is a choice. You go, wait a minute now, hold on, what are you talking about? Your cells in your body replicate. They copy. It's a copying machine. Every single time without fail or exception. And based upon the non-physical part, sometimes you can know how you're gauging based on your emotions. And it's not an airy-fairy, oh, go with what you feel and that kind of stuff. But it is the place of coming into copying those cells. And you don't necessarily have to understand that. And yet, if you cut your fingernails, they grow more fingernail. It doesn't grow tongue. It grows fingernail. Those copies replicate and copy itself. When your skin exfoliates itself, which is the primary part of dust, as you call it, in your house, that skin sloughed off and is replaced to the dermis with larger, more skin. It's a constant process. Your hair grows. You cut it, it grows. You don't have to cut it, but it'll still grow. It even grows even after your spirit's left your body for a span of time. It doesn't know not to grow, you see. So once you tap into the non-physical part and you start having an understanding of that copy process and you can bond with the non-physical, which is your inside, the non-physical part of you would be the part that you can embrace or reach or push away. And if you can find a way to embrace it, then with your gauge of emotions to let you know how you're doing in this process called living life, then what happens, it becomes a marvelous, delicious, fastest path of my joy process that allows you to ebb and flow, wax and wane, make decisions, make choices. Good example is you've ever had a hunch. Where does a hunch come from? Well, that comes from non-physical. The all of the heavens are rejoicing, and they're standing in abeyance at every ebb, every flow, every turn that are available because you, the creator, have that capacity of allowing, that bring you into the place where you can be empowered completely and totally. And the more that that's done and resonating in a stage or space of love, then you're on the right path because you can duplicate that. When everybody gets so busy learning how to love, you don't have time to run around hooking up the murderers and the murderees.
Hey, this is KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles and San Diego, 98.7 FM up in beautiful Santa Barbara. On the lines, Ion joins us out of Georgia, and Bob Dobbs is in the beautiful island states of Hawaii, out there in Maui, and we are parked here in a virtual land of Los Angeles with you, City of Angels, and all of our lovely spirit beings listening to this amazing channel. So generous, Bob, helping us understand the world that we are a part of. We're going to be opening up the lines at the top of the hour here. So just, you know, take off and snap on your little helmet and let's have a little powwow with our folks here on Radio Alchemy here on KPFK. We'll be back with our gents after this short break, darling. So stay tuned. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
And hey, darlings, we have a fun drive coming up in June. It starts next week. We need phone volunteers. We need folks with great energy to come on down. And even if your energy is a little bit waning, come on down and we'll help pump it up. Because it is a good time down here at KPFK. And so, you know, all hours of the day, we need you to come down and help people give and bring down your sweat equity. We can certainly put it to use. We also have a very important election coming up at KPFK. The governance of KPFK is all through listener sponsors. When you pledge your support, you can also run for election on our local station board and also our national board. You don't know how important this is. The boards help look at our governance structure, help look at ways to making this radio station stronger. They help take care of our transmitter licenses. This is a non-profit listener-sponsored network, the last of its kind in the United States. It is that important, you guys. Commercial-free because of you. We need people to volunteer during Fund Drive. We need people who have pledged their support, who are planning to be a part of our governance structure and run for our local station board and our national board. And we'll have more information coming up about that next week. We'll tell you all the things that you need to do to be a part of KPFK and help us remain strong in contrasty, turbulent times. Woo! All right, loves. On the lines, Ion. On the lines, Bob Dobbs. And soon, you, here on KPFK. Oh, and make sure to go to www.kpfk.org. Go over to programs. You can also go down to archives. You can see all the streaming programs that we have there. Radio Alchemy is under construction. Yes, it has so much work to be done, but it's exciting stuff. And yes, we're going to get that thing up and going la, 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 la. We just hope that you know where to go on the web, kpfk.org, Radio Alchemy, and make sure and look at all the amazing programs, all the individuals that are bringing forth their realities, and just all in the sense of all of us going towards a better world, one person and one mass at a time. On the lines, Ion. On the lines, Bob Dobbs. We are joining them now. We will open up the airwaves coming up at 3 a.m. So you all, the number is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. That's going to be coming up at 3 a.m. So, you know what to do after we come up to the top of the hour. And so, Bob, did you have another question?
Yes, Ion. Eben Ray, the voice we're just listening to, has been on the air for 9 years. I was wondering if Ion could make a X-ray of Eben, and what does Ion see the effect of her work on the airwaves in any way that doesn't violate her privacy or whatever? I don't know the limits of this. Let's have Ion talk about the effect of Eben and her radio show.
Well, you have a perfectly fabulous, wonderful human who has come into her knowing, who has taken on a place of sharing, empowering. Alchemy is a very wonderful percentage or word that comes into an empowering place for a hosted group of beings who would tune in And sometimes they don't even know why they tune in. They are just attracted to the non-physical part that is her. And in that beingness, they listen to the words, and they come into the place, and they go, wait, this is real. Oh, wait, it may not exactly be real in my life, but it can be real. And what they feel from her is love. And what they feel from her is information. And that essence of her that shares, that always unites, never divides, always enhances, never takes away from, opens them into a whole new world. And then their radio show that they would tune into to come into her place of response or interaction, they can then choose to give their undivided attention regarding different aspects that she is joining together and sharing. And then the next thing you know, as it's gone over the years, has increased and increased and increased because other folks think the same way and or have the same aspirations, then they get a place or a common ground field to where they can interact. And it's not limiting because she will allow all to come in and participate, limiting by nothing. There aren't those that don't qualify. There aren't human creators that aren't able to participate, you see. And from where they are, from their experience of trying to come to a place of understanding, allows all to come into a united causal front of this human experience called living on planet Earth. And the heavens are rejoicing that she comes very easily, very simply, never pushing, always allowing this new place or realm so that the world can have more agape, all-empowering love in their life and their experience. And it is an absolutely a fabulous creation. She knows who she is, and it's not a problem at all whatsoever to take on all the topics, even the ones that aren't so pleasant, even the ones that nobody wants to talk about. She doesn't mind confronting on a very basic, simple level of allowing people to be heard, that you can, you are empowered, and the least is as important as the most important in the kingdom. But the individual kingdom, you see, is an individual process, and she empowers people, and every time that happens, you will always draw those folks. You will always have those listeners who come into the place of going, yes, finally there's a medium that's not afraid. Finally there's a medium who's not living in fear or based in fear, that you can live, you can be happy, you can make mistakes, you can continue. You never get it wrong, and you haven't gotten it done yet. It never seems to end, and it's a delightful experience. And the worst part of life that you've ever had comes into a place of deliciousness. That's what she does. That's what she is. Mostly is compacted love.
Compacted love. Very good.
Well,
how's that for a blurb?
Well, that's wow. That's yeah, that's what I've always tried to be a conduit of unbounded information and sharing. And I very much appreciate you asking that question, Bob. And I very much appreciate hearing that maybe I'm helping in allowing folks to be heard, and that there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, that I think he nailed you. Everything he said, Ion said, was something you already knew about yourself, right? Or about your show.
Well, that's the basis that I came on, which is like, bring it on, you know?
Yeah.
Let's just go there. And that's why it was so fantastic in meeting you, Bob, because I'm telling you, talking about shattering the box and people having to be ready for you and who you bring on. I think that you've helped to push the envelope towards all of the dimensions that people have not had access to the hilt. And so it's certainly an honor to have both of you on and to go from there. And Ion, let me ask you about Bob. Bob is out there talking about the Four Bodies and the Mystery Body, and really opening up areas of the influence of media. What do you think his effect is?
Oh, it has been an ongoing process. He has an unquenchable asking. He may be the most tenacious asker that has probably been on the planet. You never get complete. There's always another question. There's always another corner to delve into. There's always another level or degree of understanding that's not achieved. And as you come into that knowingness, once you get that down, then you have a new place of asking. And that becomes then line upon line, precept upon precept. And we try to eliminate as many false premises as is possible. The biggest one may be time. That humans created time. You created it. You are the creators of time. And if you could eliminate time, all of a sudden now the world takes on a whole different spherical view, sometimes empirical, but time will tell. But the time aspect that you don't have to necessarily age. Because it's only because they say, oh, well, you're 100 years old, you're a centenarian, so therefore you're out of time. Well, that's only true if you embrace it. He comes into the place of questioning everything, every time. Just when you get it perfect and you think it's done, it's like a computer program. The only perfect computer program is one that's out of date or obsolete. Always evolving. It's always increasing. It's always enhanced. Bob is always the one who comes in the place when you just get it down and you're finished the last stroke on the painting. Well, what about? It's what the next question. How do we deal with this? How does this apply? We jokingly play that when we co-create, because that's what non-physical does with the physical, is co-create and allows you to have access to this non-physical, is when you have your favorite pet or beast of your planet, and you have a beast who says, throw the ball. Always the one to throw the ball. He is tireless, and always continuing on and on and on of continuing one more time to redefine it, one more time, give a different definition, one more time, put it in a format where people can understand. One more time, bring it to the place where people can come into their knowingness. That's marvelous, because then it empowers the individual human creator. And that's what this work is all about, is bringing folks back to the knowledge and knowing that they are indeed the power. If you only knew the power that you create in your own beingness, you have enough electricity in your own body to run Southern California forever. It is so marvelous, and Bob is the best he's the best question asker that we have been imbibed by so far.
Well, what I love about having Bob on too is when we take callers and they're trying to grasp the knowledge that he is bringing, is that he is so patient, and because he is such a good question asker, he can reformat somebody's question and bring a good answer to them, because he is able to decipher exactly what they're trying to get at. And so really just a brilliant way of being the grand inquisitor, but also someone who is the grand communicator. And trying to help people evolve in their specter, and bringing you on Ion is such a treasure. And so I really appreciate you both being here. Hey, we have a couple of calls. People are jumping in, so let's try and get to them before the top of the hour. Caller one, you are on with the gentleman, Ion and Bob. Welcome.
Thank you, Evan, and thank you, Bob and Ion, for your realities. You've allowed me to learning as I tap into yours. I have a question, however, if I may, and that is, unless I misheard you, you spoke of illness, or did you touch on that earlier?
Yes, a little bit, but okay. Ask your question.
Thank you. My question is this. I didn't know that this is how limited my reality is. I didn't know that illness was a choice unless I misheard you. Can I give a quick example? I had cancer. My cousin had cancer at the same time, and we both chose different paths. So his being expired and mine still goes on. But I didn't know that I chose to have that illness or that cellular structure that broke down in my body. So I'm a little bit confused in terms of the realities of knowing and not knowing, I guess.
Sure. That's easy.
Okay.
Here you go. You're asking about the choice, okay?
Yes.
And that choice, what happens is in your physicalness, in your perfect beingness, you choose sometimes contrast, okay? And contrast, and I don't know what, if you took a treatment schedule.
Well, I had part of my being removed.
Your what?
I had an organ removed.
Yes, correct. And that organ removal still didn't take away your life force.
No, but it allowed my life force to continue.
Absolutely. That's a choice. See, that's a choice.
Well, I'm trying to get back to the original, to the illness and as it came to me. I mean, I did not choose that. That's what I'm confused about.
Oh, okay. Disease... That's what they call cancer, is a disease,
yes.
Right? Well, that's what that actually is in your physicalness, is a dis-ease, lack of ease in your being, in your physicalness.
Mm-hmm.
And that contrast lets you make the choice. You live your life, you are making choices all day, every day, every aspect of your life. You are in total and complete control regarding. You get into a certain place, then the next thing you're not feeling well, then the next thing you become in your experience that you give your attention to, then you go to the doctor and he says, I'm sorry to tell you that you have this cancer or this whatever this is. And then you embrace that or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in that embracing, it's not a problem because the non-physical part of you that is you knows the larger part. See, because you don't have bounds. And there you go. You come in and say, well, okay, you've given me this prognosis, doctor, but I vibrationally take care of everything in my life, and I am going to align with the continuation of the creation on this planet. So I choose to take this thing that is mine, that I've created, these cancer cells that are replicating, and I'm going to focus them all into this one little geographic place that you'll be able to take your chainsaw and remove.
But so are you saying then that unconsciously, because I didn't even know I had cancer, I wouldn't have known it after the doctor told me there was no physical anything that
right.
I knew of.
That's right. Amazing that this cancer can come on you that you're unaware of.
Right. And so that's my question. My question then is the essence of the cancer, did I create that?
Yes.
Unknowingly, or was that there? Did I replicate it out of tension? Or
well, it's a lack of ease. It's a lack of ease, and it's not a problem. And it's not a problem because you choose. You see?
Yeah, right. I never saw it as a problem. But if I didn't know it, then he said, the doctor, and I tend to believe him, that of course it would have metastasized and it would have gone to every cell in my body, and I would have expired.
It could have, but you chose different, you see.
Right, right.
You lined up with giving your undivided attention.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that, we would say the same thing would be a car accident. You're saying, Ion, that I would choose to be in a car accident? Well, then
of course not.
You create every aspect of your experience here on planet Earth. And the non-physical part of you wanted to come forth to mix it up, to have contrast, to have resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And they have surgeries, and sometimes it's amazing in cancer and oncology itself where you take a poison mustard and inject it into your vein, into your vascular system,
mm-hmm.
that kills or makes you so resistant to this reality those cancer cells then change. You basically force yourself into reviving to replace those cancerous cells with non-cancerous cells. Mm-hmm. It's a copying machine,
yeah.
You see.
Thank you. To cease
it from mastization. Mm-hmm. We're not even sure if that's a word, but
mastitize.
Caller, darling,
thank you
for making the choice that you did, okay?
And thank you.
And thank you for being up late, love.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That is such a hard one to wrap our noodles around, the idea of the responsibility we have for everything that comes to us. But if we have responsibility, that means that we have power. And so,
And choice.
And that is so key in today's world, is choice. And that's why Ion and Bob are here, is to remind you of that and help you to tap into that highest level access to source, so that when you make that choice, bam, it is just like, you know, cosmic awareness on a different level, you know, for yourself down on terra firma. All right, loves, we are at the top of the hour. The number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We're going to start taking your calls and continue on right after this short break, so stay tuned. Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.